aftercare. And he'd been almost worshipful in it, cuddly even, crooning praise and rubbing me and making me feel all sorts of safe and comforted, things I'd rather not feel at all. Comfort was for other people, not me. Comfort was something you could come to rely on if you weren't careful. But he was new, so I had to make certain allowances for him. And oh yes, he'd been brand spankin' new. I smiled at my own pun as I sat up. He'd sidestepped the question of whether it was his first scene. But it had been, I was sure of it. Nerves had rolled off him in big breaker waves before he started his pressure point torture. So much that I'd been sure he was about to call the whole thing off. But then he'd pulled himself together, and how? Each point he pressed seemed to give him more confidence until he was in total control of the scene. Voice hard and commanding, authority and not nerves coming off him. Hands steady and firm, demanding even. Just as pressure point work had pushed me hard, thrown me up against that blissful white zone that pain could bring. By the time he got to the belt, I'd been there, buzzing hard, white place calling my name until it consumed me even before the orgasm. A high unlike any other. He could have gone for 100 lashes at that point, and I wouldn't have stopped him. I'd been so certain that I could control any scene with him, but in that moment, when he told me I could take more and I believed him, I handed everything to him, and flew. When I'd finally come, it had only made things that much brighter, ringing me out. I'd expected him to have me jerk off, so his hand had been an unexpected treat, but also one more comfort I didn't want to come to depend on. Which was why I groaned when I saw the note stuck under the fresh water bottle by my boots. His handwriting was neat but loopy. Went to bed. There's coffee in the pot, ready to brew. And you're welcome to shower. Fresh towel in there. You're also welcome to join me in the bed, smiley face. But if you head out, thank you. That was amazing. L. There was a world of hope in that smiley face, so much that it made my chest hurt. For the briefest of seconds I considered showering, crawling into what was undoubtedly a warm bed, waking him up with the blowjob he really had earned. He'd be sleepy and appreciative, and I'd get to watch him come apart. And because I'd already pegged him as a giver, I'd get to come again too, probably with lots of touches and cuddling and praise from him. Nope, not gonna do it. I came back to reality, my reality, and dressed fast before heading into the chilly January early morning. I'd have to see him again soon, I was sure of it. But the least I could do would be to make sure my armor was firmly back in place.
6. Logan. Sunday morning started with the best orgasm in recent memory. On my own, of course. I'd heard Curtis leave in the wee hours, but hadn't come out to make an awkward situation that much worse. I'd left a note, and he'd made his choice. Simple as that. No reason to feel hurt, and I could certainly be adult about this. So, even if my chest pinged, I'd gone back to sleep, and when I woke up again, I'd had a raging hard-on. I'd replayed Curtis's sounds and expressions from the night before, working myself slow, until I simply couldn't stand it any more, imagining myself coming all over his marked flesh. God, I want that! With that little indulgence out of the way, I'd showered off and headed to the tavern for Sunday prep. On the bike ride over, I kept telling myself that I needed to forget the night before. Think of it like a really great dream. Or maybe a vacation. A spectacular island I only got to visit once. But it was hard, as I kept coming up with scenarios I'd love to try with him. Rope, cuffs, wooden spoons, floggers, paddles, kissing. That last one especially. I hadn't even tasted his skin, and that seemed like the worst kind of oversight. No seconds. I locked up the bike and braced for what was sure to be a tidal wave of concern from my friends. Sure enough, Adam was the first to spot me. He was doing inventory in the bar area, but stopped to flag me down before I made it to the kitchen. "Next time you take out boxes on a theme night, you get me, or have Horatio do it." "Mason's caught fish that weigh more than Horatio. I can handle myself." "Yeah, but Horatio's got street smarts. His brother and dad both ride with one of the motorcycle clubs. I have a black belt from some shiny studio in the Portland suburbs. I love you, man, but you got to admit you've been sheltered." "Just because I didn't grow up here with you and Mason doesn't make me sheltered. And sure, my parents were comfortable, but I've been around. We traveled a fair bit for vacations. I've seen some dicey areas." Adam snorted. Out of everyone in my friendship circle, he seemed to hold my parents' money against me the most. Like it made me soft. Or like it had somehow protected me, when that couldn't be further from the truth. Mason came out of the kitchen. "What Adam's trying to say is that we're worried about you. You're just not the most intimidating dude. You look like a TV ad featuring cherubs." Adam was more blunt. "But they were wrong. I'd intimidated Curtis plenty last night. Had him on his knees, begging, holding still for my blows." The memory made my stomach quake. In a good way. A giddy little flutter. But this was why I'd never confessed my desire to be a dom to either of them. They'd laugh themselves sick and then try to talk me out of it. Gently on Mason's part, ruder on Adam's, but the effect would be the same. No one taking me seriously yet again. "I loved that we did Leather Night," I said firmly, trying to move on from talk about my appearance and ability to defend myself. "Are we in the black for the month now, or what?" "Or what?" Mason groaned. "The last few months have been terrible. Our theme nights are keeping us afloat, but it's like the Titanic over here." "Which of us is Jack?" I laughed, even though I was pretty sure it was me. Adam and Mason had gone to elementary school together and were tighter than many brothers. If anyone was getting shoved off the last piece of floating debris, it would be me. "We're all in this together, and we knew the first year or so would be rough, especially the off-season, as we worked to build up more local trust to make up for the drop in tourists." "But this is hard." Mason shook his head. "I wish I'd taken more business classes. No substitute for real-world experience." Adam gave a bitter laugh. "I got some last night. I thought of all the kink lectures and books and demo videos I'd consumed over the years. Nothing could have prepared me fully for my first scene. It was all great knowledge to have, but there really was no substitute for real-world exploration. Now, the only question was how to get more of it. But I needed to stop letting my mind wander and pay attention to our state of the business discussion. Do we need another cash infusion? I asked. We'd gotten a small business grant from the state, some loans, and each of us had put up some savings. Of the three of us, I had the best financial situation. Adam was living with his sister and her kid to save money and took on the occasional odd job for extra cash. Mason had his family to worry about, but I had a small inheritance from my grandfather that I'd been living on, and fewer expenses. I could ask, "No to Bank of Mom and Dad," Adam said, reviving an old argument. They'd let me put up my own money, but hadn't wanted my parents as investors. "We might have to think about it. Seriously." Mason rubbed his head. "We need to make it to Memorial Day weekend. Easter and spring break should give us a bit of a bump, but it may not be enough. What about doing a Valentine's weekend special with the B&B? Special dinner, drinks, dancing, and then a room at a great price," Adam suggested. That could be the February bounce. I know my mom will go for it. I'll text her now. I love that idea. I'll work up some menu ideas that sound elegant but aren't too pricey. But I can still talk to my parents. Get the ball rolling there. Do it. Mason said, giving Adam a warning look before he could object more. Let's find out what all our options are. And I'll work on getting some publicity for the Valentine's dinner. Maybe we can get some locals out, too. Go for a more mixed crowd. It was time to prep for lunch, so talking was curtailed until later. My special was a cheddar beer soup, perfect for the dreary weather and my not-so-great mood. After the moderate midday rush, I found Mason. "Do you want me to fill in for you later?" I asked. "I know the schedule says I am off tonight and then tomorrow afternoon for that wood pickup, but I can move things around if you want." I had no idea if Curtis would even show for the wood delivery thing, and my money was on no. But, of course, I couldn't tell Mason about that. But I was antsy and not really wanting a bunch of hours in front of me to do nothing. "No way. I want the kitchen." Mason smiled. He was usually the one to take over the kitchen when I had time off. We'd gone to the same culinary school, and Mason had decent cooking chops, even if his forte was management stuff. "Nash is bringing Lilac in for dinner, and they can't wait to see what my special is going to be, and I really do need the nights off I'm scheduled for later in the week, so let's not rearrange." "Okay." I was more than half tempted to stick around, offer to be his sous chef, but he shooed me out of the kitchen. For some reason, I didn't want to head straight home. What I wanted was to lose myself in something. A sparring match, a long ride, sex, cooking. But I had yet to find a local dojo I liked for my Aikido training, and it was too slick and rainy for anything more than a brief trip on the bike to be palatable. That left sex. And after last night, I had no desire to go through the trouble of trying to find a hookup. I wanted to revel in my memories of Curtis some more, before I ventured back to the largely vanilla flavors I'd sampled for years now without a ton of success. Down to cooking. My personal fridge was a little barren these days. Last night, after Curtis fell asleep on the couch, I'd realized I didn't have much more than coffee to offer him if he stuck around for breakfast. And for a chef, that wouldn't do. Also, I needed to get started coming up with some ideas for the Valentine's Day dinner. I could have done that at the tavern, of course, but there was something comforting about cooking alone in my own kitchen, no one bustling in and out, no opinions until I asked for them. So, instead of heading home, I made sure I had room in my panniers and biked the few blocks up to the grocery. It was a small store with limited options. In the time that I'd been living in Rainbow Cove, I'd already learned that parsley and cilantro were their only fresh herbs. Pasta, strictly a dried affair. Higher-end cuts of beef and pork, not a thing. And bread, sadly lacking outside of sandwich loaves. I missed Portland more every time I shopped. Oh, well. I needed to be cost-conscious with the Valentine's menu anyway. Go with something that people loved, but that wasn't as spendy as a filet. Something suitable for this weather of layers, and... that's it! Layers! Like a tagine, or a ratatouille. But the store had no eggplants. Or maybe something with phyllo. Spinach pie? But they didn't carry phyllo, which left me trekking back to the pasta aisle. I was daydreaming about classy, upscale lasagna when I almost bumped into... Curtis? Kid. He gave me a weary once-over, like I was about to hug him or do something else equally horrifying. You're not cooking tonight? Not at the tavern. I'll be cooking at home tonight. That sounded suspiciously close to an invitation, so I added, "Testing recipes. We'll be doing a special night for Valentine's. Mason's cooking at the tavern, though, if you wanted to stop in. And now I was rambling and needed to just stop. I gave him what I hoped was a bright yet distant smile. I don't. Understandable. Crappy weather. I was proud of myself for making such mundane small talk. No need to refer back to, or even think about last night, except every other second. To distract myself, I scoped out his basket. I couldn't help the nosiness. I was a chef. I always wanted to know what people were cooking. Besides, I'd heard that he grew most of his food. He had some canned tomatoes and a few bags of beans. You doing a vegan chili? I've been thinking about making that soon as a special. You want my recipe? The secret is cocoa.
Kid.
Curtis silenced my rambling with a stern look. No one watching us would ever believe that this guy had been on his knees, willingly, eagerly even, for me.
I make beans. Once a week. Same way for about 15 years now. It's just food.
Just food. I swear it felt like a slap, him rejecting my attempts to be friendly. And it was never just food. It was joy, warmth, happiness, texture, sweetness, heat, the 1,000 sensations in a single meal. Oh. Well, have fun making it. The awkward place I'd worked so damn hard to avoid had now arrived in the form of a too long pause, and both of us looking away. But feet not moving yet.
See you around.
Curtis moved fast.
Tomorrow at 2, right?
Ah, I supposed we were still on after all. Making Flint unhappy by backing out of our deal must have been a worse prospect than spending a few hours with me. If you want.
We don't want you cold. That rental of yours must get nippy.
Finally. Finally, there was a spark in his eyes, some reminder that last night was not a total figment of my imagination. He knew exactly how drafty the little house got, which was why I'd been so careful to cover him with blankets. His mouth quirked. Not a smile or even a hint, but there was something there.
I'll stick around. Give you a lesson on lighting the stove the first time. Nash won't forgive me if I let you burn the neighborhood down.
I don't need lessons. Real-world lessons, like Mason had been going on about. That was it. Second thought. That sounds good. See you then. I offered him a cheery wave before heading away with my cart. I had the beginnings of a plan now, and it was going to be great. Better than my dinner ideas, even.
7. Curtis. The kid, and it benefited me to think of him as one, no matter how much he claimed to be 27, wanted to trade recipes. Huh. I had no doubt his chili would be the best stuff I'd ever tasted. But I went home alone, no recipe in hand, and put a bag of beans in a large pot of water to soak. I felt a bit like I'd squashed a butterfly back there at the store. He'd been trying so hard to play it cool, whereas I'd gone straight to grumpy ass and didn't look back. It hadn't helped that I could still feel him with every movement, still remember how he'd made me sore. Maybe I'd make it up to him when we got wood. Be, well, not nice, but more considerate. Too nice would give him the wrong idea, but I also didn't need to be cruel. I spent Monday morning on a bunch of small tasks that needed doing. Servicing my truck, working in the greenhouse, cleaning tools. While I loved the high of finishing a big sculpture, little routines were what grounded me, brought me peace. I was at the tavern at exactly 2, and the kid hurried out the back door right as I got out of the truck. Boy Wonder had clearly talked to Ringer about what to wear to haul wood. He was wearing a too big flannel jacket and two new jeans along with sneakers. We had to get this boy some boots. But there I was thinking about him in leather again. Not so cranky was all well and good, but I couldn't go getting a thing for the kid. Ringer loan you work gloves along with his coat? That came out a bit harsh, so I made myself smile. Yeah. He flushed like he hadn't noticed my smile. He said your friend lives off in the hills? Yep. I headed back to the truck. This is your truck? He seemed a tad surprised. Guess he'd figured me for driving some ancient piece of shit. But in my line of work, a good truck was a necessity, not a luxury. I routinely hauled heavy loads, so I had an F-350 diesel with a towing package for when I needed the trailer. This rig would make Adam jealous. He smiled as he climbed in. He smiled a lot, and it was hard to ignore the effects all those dimples had on me, prickling tender bits of my insides, making me cranky and nostalgic both. It gets the job done. I shrugged off the compliment. We made our way out of town, up the old mill road to catch a country road that would lead us into the woods where Johnny lived. It was a decent trek. I wasn't good at chatter despite being more social than people gave me credit for, so I wasn't surprised when Logan reached for the radio. Doubt you'll get a signal, I warned. Yeah, but don't you have your phone plugged in? Nope. I laughed and pointed at my phone, an ancient flip model that Troy had bought me years ago that I'd never seen reason to upgrade. Aw, man. His reaction was comical, all wide eyes and head shaking. He really was the most expressive creature. Wish I had a cable. We could use mine. Something tells me you and I have very different tastes in music. My laugh escaped without my consent, damn it. I'm not a club rat, if that's what you're thinking. He sounded mortally offended. I listen to all sorts of things. Classic rock, even some like the stuff I've heard you blaring when you're working outside. Thank you kindly for pointing out that I'm older than dirt. You're what, 40 like Nash? That's nothing. He waved away our age difference like it was a pesky bug. 42, actually. And I felt every one of the 15 years separating us with each of his easy smiles. But you went to school with Nash, right? Are your folks still around here? He was simply making pleasant conversation. He didn't know my history. I could lie, tell him some pretty tale, and he wouldn't know the difference. Instead, the truth bubbled up. Dead. I'm sorry for your loss. That sucks. Don't be. They were both raging alcoholics that made Mason's relations look like a TV show family. And that was before the meth. Apparently, the truth didn't want to be pasted over. I glanced over at him, expecting more wide-eyed shock and horror. Or worse, pity. But his eyes were soft and compassionate. That sucks. No siblings to share the load? None that I'm aware of. I'm an only kid, too. Not saying I know what it was like for you. But I hate it sometimes, not having a sibling to talk to. It was okay. I'd hated that, too, but I was also a realist. Chances were high that whatever brother or sister my parents churned out wouldn't have been the most understanding of souls. And honestly, even if they'd been decent, I wouldn't wish my parents on another person. And then, because I was done talking about me, I asked, "Your parents back in Portland?" "Lake Oswego, but Dad works in Portland, yeah." He named a ritzy suburb, which confirmed a lot of my assumptions about him. They're not happy with me so far away. Like I said, a sibling would make it easier. I'm all they have. Yep, another suspicion confirmed. Boy Wonder wouldn't be sticking around, especially if the tavern couldn't make it. I turned onto the dirt track leading up to Johnny's place. When the cabin came into view, he gasped, and I had to laugh. It looked like Johnny was preparing for a zombie invasion with stacks of wood everywhere. More wood than house, really. His selection of trucks was neatly lined up, and various other pieces of heavy equipment completed the logging cabin look. Wow! It's a real log cabin! How cool! He grinned like I'd taken him to Disney. Did he build it himself? Him and his old man, yeah? Think he'd let me peek inside? I've always wanted to see one up close. Knock yourself out, kid. I'm sure he'll give you a tour if you want. Sure enough, Johnny and the dogs were out to greet us before I even got parked. Despite his remote location, Johnny was plenty friendly, and he had a backslap for me and a hearty handshake for Logan.
You bring cash? My card reader don't work out here.
Yep. The kid peeled off a stack of 20s so crisp they crackled. Here you go.
Excellent. Let's get y'all loaded.
Johnny was all smiles after getting paid. He led us to the nearest stack of split wood. Tell me a little about your operation here. I love your cabin. The kid continued to look like he'd landed at a theme park, eyes darting this way and that.
Yeah? You want to see my newest hauler?
Switching direction, Johnny led us to a shiny logging truck.
This baby's gonna earn her keep.
Logan circled it and kept Johnny busy with all sorts of questions, like a kid on a field trip. And of course, Johnny ate it up. Didn't take more than a little hint from me before he was shown off the cabin, pointing out his new solar panels on the roof.
Oh, wow! You've got solar! And for your water as well!
Boy Wonder looked at Johnny like he'd invented the sucker.
I've got some, too.
I just couldn't keep quiet in the face of the Mutual Admiration Society I was witnessing.
Oh, you'll have to show me.
He gave me a dazzling smile, same one that had apparently rendered Johnny brain dead. Someday when I get my own place, I want to go all eco, passive solar, the works. It's so awesome that you got to design your house. Much as I suddenly had the urge to throat punch Johnny, I couldn't help but be entertained by the kid's enthusiasm. He'd be back in Portland someday, building in some subdivision with a woodsy name. And that made me a little sad. I sure would have liked to see what he came up with. You can't have a cabin that's all kitchen, I joked at him. He stared for a long second, like this was the first time I'd been funny. Which, okay, maybe it was. But I was trying. Especially with Johnny oozing lumberjack charm over there. Can too. Logan winked at me.
You cook at the tavern, right?
Johnny looked Logan over like he was one of the daily specials.
Yep. Come in sometime. Tell Mason or Adam that I sent you and we'll comp your dessert.
I might just have to do that.
Johnny headed back outside. I walked a little closer to Logan than was strictly necessary, and glared at Johnny's back.
What?
Logan whispered. Sorry if this took up too much time.
It's fine. Let's get loaded.
Between the three of us, we got the truck full of wood quickly, Logan pulling more weight than I would have thought. He was far stronger than he looked, and a good hard worker.
Come in this week. Boy Wonder urged Johnny as we got ready to go.
I'm going to do a beef pot pie as the special on Thursday, I think. You might like that.
I might indeed.
Johnny had a backslap for each of us, and I had a long warning look for him. From what I knew about the kid, Johnny was far, far from his type. But I still didn't like the idea of either of them trying it on. I decided I better fill the kid in as I headed back to the road. You might want to be careful with your invites. Johnny's a rope dom. Plays with both men and women. He wouldn't mind lashing you to that pillar in his living room.
Wow.
He blinked a few times.
I wasn't hitting on him. Only meant that I thought his place was cool. Oh, he was happy to show it off. My laugh was a touch too bitter. Just tread careful. Why does everyone seem to think I can't handle myself? He groaned and let his head fall back on the seat. I've got little doubt you could, actually, I admitted. But I'd rather not have to explain to Nash why you laid out Johnny with some karate kick takedown move. Thank you. He beamed like I'd handed him a gift instead of the truth. And I can be polite, too. He hits on me, I'll simply say I'm not interested. That usually works, except with drunk assholes like Leroy. I didn't like the sound of that usually. Didn't like the thought of him in situations with jerks who wouldn't take no for an answer. I let myself stew on that all the way back to town. It wasn't until we were unloading that he started talking again. That business with Johnny reminded me of an idea I wanted to talk to you about. His words were a little too careful. He deliberately waited to spring this idea on me until we were at his place and I couldn't kick him out of the truck. Not that I would have, but I was instantly on edge, beard prickling. Oh? I've got a proposition for you. A bargain, if you will. He set down his latest armload of wood and turned to smile at me. I want lessons. Lessons? I considered him carefully. No way did he want carving lessons. Kink lessons, he clarified. I want to know how to be a better dom for the next time I get to do it in real life. I think you're just bossy and opinionated enough to give me tips. You want tips? I set my own load of wood down next to his in the ancient firewood rack on the side of the house. Yes, he nodded eagerly. I know you said the other night was a one-time thing, and meant it. But this wouldn't be dating or anything like that. Just you walking me through some pointers and doing a few more scenes. Do I look eager to hold Dom 101 classes? My eyes narrowed, but I had to admit, his idea wasn't without appeal. A regular source of play was something I sorely needed, but I wasn't convinced Baby Dom was worth the hassle, or the risk. And how is it that you got to 27 without these lessons you seem all fired up for? He groaned. I've always loved the idea of being in charge, giving orders. But I had this boyfriend. Kind of an on-again, off-again thing that started our junior year in high school and went until last year. My parents loved him, so I kept going back to him. But he's seriously the most vanilla person on the planet. Won't even entertain the idea of anal. The same one who didn't find being tied up fun. I was starting to get a picture of this stuck-up idiot who most certainly had not been worthy of someone with Logan's creativity. That's the one. And anyway, I'd sneak porn. A lot of it kinky. But it was only once we broke up for good that I really let myself explore the idea of being kinky myself. I started dabbling in some lectures and workshops. But when I went to a leather bar in Portland, I ran into a dom who made Leroy look like a basket of puppies. Fuck. I didn't like the idea of Logan in danger. And this guy had friends. Got into a bar fight, which kind of turned me off the idea of trying to find a sub for a while. And I, have rather specific tastes. His neck flushed red. Oh? Now I'm curious. I like bigger guys, with muscles. Guys who look like doms at first glance. Anyway, you don't need all my baggage. I just need to figure out how to get people in the lifestyle to take me more seriously. I thought you'd be great at giving me pointers. His smile was still encouraging, but starting to waver a little. I looked him up and down. It was damn easy to see what Johnny had found so appealing about his angelic looks. Even now, in his too big jacket, he looked 19, not 27. Get yourself some decent boots. Think about some leather. Cut the hair, grow a beard or goatee if you're able. A few tats wouldn't hurt. He was silent a long time, and I thought for sure I'd wounded him. Finally, he nodded. That's good. That's the sort of thing I need to hear. My ex manages an upscale menswear store, and my mom has this thing about my hair, so I've always gone for the preppy look. But it's probably time for a change. His eyes were soft and sad, though, and my stomach clenched. Fuck. I had hurt him. Listen, you gotta do you. Leather's not just a look, it's something that's in your soul. It's who you are. You can get all the tips you want, but unless you really feel it, you're just gonna be faking it, and that's no good either. He licked his lips. I think I am leather. I just have a really hard time letting it out. Cultural conditioning and all that. I nodded like I knew what the fuck he meant with the big words. But I could tell him more about me. When I see leather, my pulse hums. I put it on, I get hard. I fucking love leather. But maybe for you it's more a suit or something like that. I know plenty of doms who like looking all snazzy and aren't into the leather as much. You gotta find a look that works for who you are. He made a face. Suits don't do it for me as much. I daydream about tats, leather. I'm just scared of looking like a poser. You won't. You'll look like you. I couldn't say how I knew that, I just did. There was something in this kid that wanted out. I wasn't exactly sure what it was yet, and I was the worst person on earth for this pep talk, but I felt compelled to try. Own it. Life's too damn short to not go all in on who you are. You're right. That was my New Year's resolution this year, to be myself more. Maybe get a tat, and to figure out how to be a better dom. How to get a sub. It's not going to be me. I tried to gentle my words some, but he still frowned. I know that. I just want lessons, so that I can get a sub of my own. Real-world experience. I want to be ready. And yeah, the look thing can be part of it. Maybe with you advising me, it'll be easier to make changes. I didn't much care for the vision of him with a sub of his own. Probably some gym rat twink even more fresh-faced than he was, with the muscles Logan seemed to crave, but no common sense grounding either of them. What's in this deal for me? I told myself it was merely curiosity keeping me from shutting him down flat. Pain. Plenty of it. And whatever else you want me to try. See, you're bossy, and this is your chance to get what you want from a scene. All your preferences accounted for. He smiled widely like he had my number. And he wasn't wrong. I'd had enough scenes go sideways over the years that I was picky about who I handed the reins to. And it had felt like a luxury the way he'd quizzed me so carefully about what I wanted and then delivered exactly that without pushing for anything else. But I didn't do luxuries. Luxuries were even riskier than giving up control to the wrong person. What else? I was prepared to put him in his place if he offered cash. But he laughed and surprised me again. You mean besides the fact that it would be fun and you know it? I'm not dumb enough to offer to pay for lessons, but I was thinking I could cook for you. And honestly, you'd be doing me a favor there, too. Letting me test more of my vegetarian ideas on you, and use up some of our leftovers. His cooking was way more of a luxury than offering me my choice of items at the kink buffet. And fun, Lord, I wasn't sure I could handle fun. I needed to say no to this bargain right away, before it could work its venom into me. It's winter. Your garden's gotta be pretty limited, right? I make do. I lied. It was limited, on so many levels. With Bill out of the picture and me not wanting to go on the hunt, it was likely to be a long, cold spell on all fronts. Maybe watching Logan blossom into himself would be worth the risk. A public service, almost. I thought of what could happen. Him getting the wrong mentor, and my blood temperature dropped 30 degrees. Especially when I thought about what he'd said about the bar fight. He had a world of potential as a dom, but the wrong person could ruin all that, or worse, destroy his confidence. And it was that image, the high likelihood of him getting taken advantage of, that had me nodding before I really knew what I was doing. I guess we could have a lesson or two.
8. Logan.
You'll do it?
I honestly hadn't been sure whether Curtis would agree to my proposal. He was awfully unpredictable. In fact, his eyes shifted around like he was considering whether to retract his agreement.
Nothing permanent. But, like you say, you've got to learn the basics sometime. You're making a good start, though, that's for sure.
I beamed under his praise. The scene was good for you, then?
Now you're just fishing. You know it was.
He laughed. I really liked his genuine laugh, not the sarcastic one he trotted out a lot, but the real one that seemed to bubble up from deep inside his chest.
I'm not here for an ego trip. I'll tell you if you screw up.
Good. I wanted that. I was serious about getting better at this, getting all I could from his experience. And I'll think about what you said about my look.
It's not a look.
His tone was serious. The same one he'd used when he'd described how leather was in his soul. His words had been almost poetic, and I'd known instantly what he'd meant. I know. Sometimes I'd look at tattoo art or pictures of guys in leather, and the longing would be almost palpable. I wanted that to be me, wanted the cool ink and the buttery, soft leather wear, wanted to be the kind of guy who could do those things with confidence. In my obsession with older movies, that was always the type of hero I was drawn to, the give-no-fucks badass with a smart mouth and cool wardrobe. But fear had always held me back from trying it, and I'd worried too much about what others in my life would say. Seth was also so particular about his preppy menswear that he would have been horrified by my leather leanings, and my brief forays into the scene in Portland had shown me that there were plenty of people who would be fast to label me a poser, even if I did try to embrace that side of myself.
It's not about getting the right Halloween costume to be a dom. You are a dom. You did a fine job in those fancy pants of yours. It's about letting out whatever is inside you, projecting that to the world.
I want that, I said with the force of years of trying to find the courage to venture out of my comfort zone. It felt like I'd spent my entire relationship with Seth suppressing my inner dom, and now that side was demanding its turn in the sun.
Of course, some boots wouldn't hurt a damn thing.
His mouth curved, and it took me a second to realize it was a real smile, not one of the fake ones he pasted on pretty often. I own a pair, I admitted. Leather pants, too. And I'm going to take the plunge, order some other gear. His eyes lit up.
You're taking requests on that, right?
Absolutely.
I love floggers. I can show you how to wield it, but after seeing you with a belt, I think you'll be a natural. Get yourself a nice balanced combo flogger for that empty toy box.
It's not completely empty, I admitted. I seriously couldn't believe we were standing here in my side yard having this conversation. I own bondage rope in a few different colors and thicknesses. I've done shibari workshops, and I'm good with knots.
Noted.
He rubbed his beard.
How about we work up to that? Oh, I liked the sound of that. Liked the idea of multiple lessons a lot.
Absolutely.
I want to work with your limits and preferences.
You sure are eager.
He laughed again. So, when should we start? I checked out my phone. I've only got about an hour before I've got to be back for the dinner rush.
Ah!
His eyes sparkled. It was a nice look on him, full of good humor.
Probably not long enough for a scene, but I did promise you a wood stove lesson, and I think I owe you something.
Oh? Brushing off my arms and legs, I led the way to my side door, really hoping the something might be a kiss.
First, the stove. Then, if we get it working, I owe you a blowjob. And lesson one, I want you to top the hell out of me while I do it.
I swallowed hard. That sounded amazing, and like nothing I'd ever had. I can do that. Conscious of time, I tried to pay attention as Curtis got the fire started in the wood stove insert in the fireplace. I had some newspaper and kindling ready to go after the guy had come to inspect the stove last week, and Curtis added a few pieces from the wood we'd brought. He didn't make a terribly big blaze, as I had to leave soon. Also, we both seemed to have other things on our minds. No wonder there. It did make the room instantly warmer, though the heat I was feeling was probably caused by the images Curtis had planted in my head.
I want you to top the hell out of me while I do it.
I'd had some oral sex over the years, but I wasn't sure much of it would be considered me being dominant at all. However, this was supposed to be a lesson, and I was game for trying out a few of my fantasies. I tossed the jacket I'd borrowed from Adam on the couch and remained standing. Curtis was still crouched, poking at the fire.
I think that's good.
He turned toward me with expectant eyes.
Game on.
You can stay on your knees. I gave myself permission to be as stern as I wanted. No need to worry about being nice. He liked harsh, and God knew I liked delivering it. He knee-walked the two steps between us until he was directly in front of me. Fuck. I liked him there a lot.
You want my cock? Oh, yeah.
He was breathing hard, and I knew it wasn't because of any effort in lighting the stove. I stroked his shoulders, stopped at a pressure point to dig in.
Mmm. Oh. Ah.
His eyes fluttered shut as he gave himself over to the sensation, leaning into the couch, torso brushing my legs. Damn, but I loved what a little pain did to this man. I used the grip to urge him closer. He rubbed his face against my pelvis.
Get it out,
I ordered. I'm being nice, not binding your hands. Don't make me regret giving you use of them. He moaned, softly, before undoing my belt and fly with deft fingers and tugging my cock out. I was rock hard and aching just from having him like this.
You said you're good?
I moved my hand from his shoulder to bury it in his hair, which was thick and bushy and remarkably soft. I kept my grip tight in case this was a no-go zone like his neck, but he moaned again, deliberately moving against my palm.
I am. Promise.
His breath was warm against my dick. His tongue darted out, licking a stripe around my slick head. Fuck! His tongue was just as agile as his fingers.
I want to go hard.
I tightened my hand on his head to make my point clear.
Yes.
he panted. Do it. Use my mouth.
All my fantasies split open right there. Big guy, begging for my cock, hungry for me to take control. He sucked the tip of my cock into his warm mouth, beard tickling sensitive tissues. He held back from going further, eyes locked on mine, waiting. Rocking my hips, I slid forward, giving him plenty of time to decide he didn't want me to go too deep, but he welcomed me with a lusty growl, sucking hard. His hands on my hips tugged me deeper until his lips were at my base.
That's right. Take it.
I started a slow rhythm, both to learn what he was capable of and to keep from coming too fast. He had a very active mouth, sucking and licking, as I set the pace.
Put your hands behind your back.
He obeyed me immediately, clasping his hands at the small of his back. Even without binding him, it was a submissive position, one that put him more at my mercy, as he couldn't send me signals with the grip of his hands on my hips. That compliance felt even better than his mouth. I liked being in control of things like sauces and my bicycle, liked it when situations went my way, but this, having another person let me direct them, willingly giving up the same control that I treasured, was a huge rush.
Good. So good, I praised.
You want me to fuck your mouth? Go harder? He moaned his assent. So I sped up my thrusts, using my grip on his head to hold him steady. He seemed to like it when I tugged, groaning around my cock. He was sucking hard on each upstroke, chasing my cock, and no way was I going to last.
You want me to come? Show me how much.
Oh, yeah. He doubled down on his efforts like I'd handed him a bomb to defuse and a 30-second timeline. His tongue did this flutter thing that was just money against my cockhead.
Oh, fuck. That's it. You are so good for me. You're gonna get me off.
He hummed his approval. And that was all it took. I fucked hard and things got sloppy as we both lost finesse. I came with a low groan. My knees shook and my back spasmed as orgasm rocketed through me.
Power.
His position, his ready obedience, my hand in his hair, the freedom to fuck his face as fast and hard as I wanted, knowing it was what he wanted too, all of it combined to make me feel as powerful as my first century ride, adrenaline spiking. The sensation was as unexpected as it was delicious. A new level to the familiar sensation of climaxing.
Good.
So good, I chanted as he sucked me through the aftershocks. When I got too sensitive, I pushed him away.
Please.
His hands were still behind his back, eyes closed, mouth swollen like we'd kissed for hours. He seemed to vibrate with need. Need that made me feel even better than the orgasm. Me taking charge had done this, had reduced him to this.
You want to come too?
I stroked his hair, gentler now.
You did so damn good.
You earned it.
Go on now, get your dick out. Thank you.
His breath released in a whoosh as he wrenched his fly open, pulling his cock free. He stroked it with a frantic hand, like I might yank this reward away if he didn't do it fast enough. I tightened my grip again, going from gentle to demanding.
Come on now. Come for me.
Yes. He moved his head, so I had no choice but to tug harder. Fuck. That. Right there. I reached down, got my other hand on his shoulder, and dug into the pressure point I'd started with. Fuck. 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 He came all over his fist, breathing hard. I gentled my hands, stroking him through his shudders. Good. So good for me. I smoothed his hair back.
God, your thumbs should be registered weapons, he groaned. And awesome touch with the hair pulling. You've got this great way of reading what I'm up for. Keep those instincts.
Oh, yeah. I'd totally forgotten he was going to rate my performance, give me tips, after. I'd gotten so caught up in the moment, I'd forgotten it was supposed to be a lesson. Felt real as hell, that was for sure. Thanks. I shrugged out of my t-shirt, offered it to him for cleanup, and gave him a hand up.
I wanted to kiss him, taste my cum on his mouth, but he'd slipped into evaluation mode.
Now, just so we're clear, praise kink isn't my thing, but you're good at it. You'd be great with a newbie sub with that.
I didn't want a newbie sub. I wanted him. Specifically, I wanted to collapse on the couch with him for some post-sex kissing and touching. But I'd asked for this. So I just nodded. Also, I suspected that he liked the praise more than he was letting on. He'd sucked harder each time I'd complimented him, and seemed to sink into my gentle touches as much as the harder ones.
But I wasn't going to point that out.
So, he sized me up.
You going to make that order? Give me a call when you've got some new toys to break in?
Absolutely. I had no doubt that he probably owned floggers and whatnot, assuming Troy had been kinky. But I sure as hell was neither asking nor wanting to use something of his dead lover's. I'd get right on the rapid shipping, soon as my shift was done. And you're good with a leather flogger, right? No need to get a special vegan one? He laughed, low and lusty.
No. I fucking love leather.
Fetish, I guess you could say. I love the smell, the feel, the look. I know that's weird for a vegetarian, but I don't avoid meat out of a political statement. Oh? I always figured it was an environmentalist thing for you.
Hardly. My old man was a big-time hunter and fisherman when he was sober, and sometimes when he wasn't, and he insisted on taking me. And I've got the weakest stomach on the planet. It wasn't pretty. He kept making me go. I've got no problem with others eating meat, but the taste makes me gag.
That's too bad. About your dad, I mean.
Eh. He shrugged. It was what it was. And the reason I go more full-on vegan than vegetarian is it's cheaper and easier on my gut. Never cared for eggs at all, and dairy and my wonky stomach don't get along the best.
You should give me a list of foods that irritate your stomach. I do want to cook for you, and I'd hate to make anything worse.
Kid, we're not doing a medical intake form here, it's just food.
He'd said those words before, and it made me sad for him. I wanted to cook food for him that would transform his attitude, return joy with food for him. And I wanted to throttle his parents. His upbringing seemed dire and bleak and far removed from my own suburban security. Logan, I reminded him. And one of these days I'm going to change your mind. He shook his head and sighed like I was a pesky puppy. He leaned in. And I thought I was finally about to get that kiss, but he just reached around me to retrieve his hat from the couch. Curtis might not think he wanted praise, gentleness, tasty food, and kisses, but I was going to find a way to work them all into our lessons, sooner rather than later.
Curtis. I was losing my damn mind. That was the only reason I could see for why I'd agreed to